I just want to welcome everyone that is here today and those that are logged on. This is our Wednesday night service, and we're going to share on some topics that I felt that God was leaning me towards. So if you're listening, it's meant for you, bottom line. I first want to thank some of the new countries that are logging on. One was Bangladesh. What are some other ones? Shout them out for me. Gibraltar, Cyprus,
Belize,
Cameroon, Algeria, Bulgaria, and Armenia,
Uzbekistan.
Yes, said Bangladesh. Yes, welcome. All those that have logged on now, and I believe the world is hungry to know who God is. And as I say this before, God doesn't really exist, but he does exist. He don't exist because there's a thing called faith. And this is what I'm going to, this is kind of like my topic for tonight. God is supernatural. He is a spirit, and you have to be able to understand supernatural, and you have to also understand spirit in order to understand God. We are born in a nature, and that nature is carnal, that nature is human, that nature is so-called sin, but sin doesn't exist, and I'll keep sharing that. Because we tend to put ourselves in a position of feeling guilty and shameful, and in the reality of it is not guilty or shameful, it's just pure out of not understanding or ignorance. And that's what puts us in that sin nature, where religion kind of beats you, and this God that I serve is not a religious God, it's a personal, loving, caring God who loves you and cares for you and doesn't judge you, who made you exactly who you are. And one of the things of understanding my God is to develop this relationship so that you can feel good about yourself and come into his plan, God's plan and purpose for your life. This is why it's so important to understand my God and why I'm here to share about my God. So with that being said, God is a spirit, and you need to know him in spirit and in truth. And why I say truth is because there are many gods out there, and you can form them in the sense of spirit by imagination. But I don't want you to get trapped into an imagination, because then you can create your own God through your own desires and your own wants and manipulate your God. But I want you to know my God, and you can't be diverted by my God, because my God has a foundation of truth. And that's how you know the true living God, the true God of creation, not a God of an imagination. And I want to emphasize on that, because I truly believe there's a lot of religions out there that conform to an imaginary God, and they actually apply a power that is called faith. And I want to share something about faith. Faith is very, very unique. It's a spirit. Faith is a spirit. Faith is a gift. Faith is supernatural. Faith is a being. It exists. Faith is so cool when you get to know it. It's alive. How many people realize that faith is alive? It's living. There's power. It manifests itself. And I'm going to explain what I'm saying. Here's a definition of faith. Faith means complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Trust, belief, confidence, conviction. And then there's also another meaning of faith. Strong belief in God or in doctrines of religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. So basically what they're saying is faith is a trust, belief, confidence, or conviction. Now, where did you get that conviction at? Like, what stirs up your feelings? You got to be alive in order for your feelings to begin to start moving, right? Okay, so that means that there's something living that gets you to feel this way. So faith is a trust and a belief. Now, in this book here called the Bible, and I love this book. It's an awesome book. It's the book that bears witness of what I received when my life was changed, and that testimony will be coming out soon. But in this book, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I want to emphasize on faith, because faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. Now, isn't God something that's not seen? Okay. And if you have hope that there's a God, then faith in itself is a substance, and it's needed. It's a power that is needed to bring God into existence, into your life. And we need God, because God is our source of power, our strength, and our life. Not many people understand this, but you have no life without God. How many of us here tonight realize that? You have no life without God. You might think you have a life, but you're going to be, certain manifestations are going to follow you. You're going to be empty, depressed. You're going to be confused, unsure. You're going to be unhappy, and you're not going to be filled with joy, and you're going to feel lost. And God is a power that when you do develop a relationship, it could be even just a small one in the very beginning, there's an enlightenment that comes into your spirit, a life that awakens you, that all of a sudden you don't feel lost, you don't feel depressed, you don't feel upset, you don't feel discouraged or ill-feeling, so to say, or empty. You feel satisfied. And that life comes into us and gives us, so to say, a rebirth, a place. Now, I'm not saying that there are people out there that have never discovered that feeling in the beginning, but then all of a sudden, it seemed like God left them. Well, God is not a being that comes and then stays forever and ever and ever. There are truths in my God. And that's why I said the imaginary God takes over. You still think you're a believer, you still think you're a follower, you still think that God's in your life and all that. And so now you have just transferred over to the imaginary God, because you're not applying any truth to my God. My God is, he resists the proud. That's just a big key word right there. So it's not like you haven't experienced God. You probably did. You probably were like, oh, I know the God that he's talking about. I felt like that at one time. Well, then what happened? You see, where did he go? Then what happened was religion brought in and gave you the imaginary God. It deceived you and made you feel as though that you were still hanging out with God, praying with God, walking with God through this thing called faith. But you never really had God. You had the imaginary God. And I want the world to be careful about, I would say, God, period. Because there has to be a foundation of truth in God. You need truth. And part of the truth is God resists the proud. And that's one thing that we have to really understand, and don't take it offensively, but we are very self-centered individuals. How many people realize that we're very self-centered? Okay. Well, that in itself is a mixture of pride. Unfortunately, we're egotistic. Egoistical. Egocentric. Egocentric. I like that. And so what happens is we stay so focused in self that we tend to blank out the rest of the world, so to say, and we become mixed with pride, and that's a form of pride. And we have to be very careful, because there are people who walk around in this thing called false humility, where they think that they are humble and, oh, you know, I'm just meeky little me. But in reality, they are so saturated and filled with pride because everything's consumed about them. And that's it. So we have to be careful and not be deceived, that as we walk with this truth and we begin to apply faith and create God into our lives, we have to make sure that we continue to walk with God, so that this way we're not deceived by our self. Did you hear that? That was me. So anyhow, coming to it, let's be real. I want those that are listening to understand that life is not always serious. Life can be really fun. And I love my God, because my God has a sense of humor. And with that being said, we need to continue to walk with God in confidence of not the imaginary God, but having enough faith to believe that we can look at ourselves too and make sure that we're not walking in that realm of ego to where we're self-centered. And we are so reserved and cautious about defending ourselves and focusing on ourselves, not taking in consideration of others. And if I had to destroy the works of pride, I would really narrow it down to the point where if you are more considerate of others than you're considerate of yourself, then you're probably going to destroy the powers of pride. So there's a good golden key for all of you out there that are here and listening right now. If you are more considerate of others than you are with yourself, you will probably destroy the works of pride. And then you don't have to walk with the imaginary God. You can walk with the true living God, the God of truth. Because pride in itself is very powerful, that separates you and God. When he comes across pride, it's like, P-U. Get away from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. He resists the proud. Resist. And so even coming to a humble disposition, because I know that there's a lot out there that may get confused about humility and false humility. And I want you to be aware of false humility. False humility is like someone who is maybe slow to speak, maybe soft-spoken, kind, speaks proper or whatever, but yet carries a depression too. And thinks that nobody understands, but yet they carry themselves as kind. And that throws up red flags. We got to be really careful about that. It's not about you. It shouldn't be walking around in depression. Shake it off if anyone is depressed. So let's get back to faith. That was for someone listening. You know, they must grab hold of what I'm saying, because you might look at yourself as a meek, humble person when in reality you're very self-centered. And I hate to be blunt, but if you do, and I think you do, have a heart for God and you want to know God and you want to know my God, I should say, and you're having a struggle with with your relationship, but you feel as though that God's not opening any doors for you, and you seem like you're fighting in a paper bag and you're not getting anywhere, and you know, you're laying a lot of things down, but you know, for some reason you just are carrying the weight, and you're getting very frustrated with this relationship that you're trying to build with God, and because there's some key points there that you're not, you don't have any grace on you as far as enlightenment of what are these hidden things that are causing you to lose this relationship. God is easily able to walk away from anybody. He doesn't need us. We need him, you know? And how many people realize that, you know? Amen. So, you know, when we come before God, we come before him humble and grateful, knowing that we need him more than he needs us. He created us, you know, and he can easily destroy us. It doesn't matter. So we need to realize how much we need God. He is our strength in life. He's our everything in life. He's our glue to our life. You know, he keeps everything together. I mean, he's the builder. He's the glue. He's the nails. He's the wood. He's everything that makes up our future and our life. So understanding that, I'm going to release a power to us tonight, which is faith. And faith is a substance. Okay, and I'm going to give you this definition of substance. Now, we already defined faith. Faith is to narrow it down to trust or belief. So we need to begin to start trusting and believing that there is a being, a higher power, a power of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We have to realize that there is a being out there that is the glue, the nails, the wood, everything in our whole entire life that we need. We have to understand that. We need. It's not that he needs us. We need him in order to really experience life, the life that I'm talking about, and your future. Everybody wants to know their purpose. Amen? What am I here for? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just like go to bed, wake up, you know, eat, you know, wake up, go to bed, eat? What's my purpose? How many out there want to know what their purpose is? Good. Well, you won't ever figure out your purpose. You will become a machine. Anybody know what a machine is? It's a person who wakes up and does what they think they have to do in order to survive. They're programmed. Boop, 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 boop. Somebody told you you had to do this. Boop, 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 boop. Somebody told you that you had to do that. Boop, 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 boop. And then you're programmed. And then now once you're programmed, boop, 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 boop. Every day you do what you were programmed for. Is that a life? That's no life. And God wants to break that. He wants to give you life. He doesn't want to give you a machine. He wants to give you a life. And a life is exciting. I mean, you can still end up waking up doing the same old thing every day, but there's an ingredient in there. You know, it's called substance. And that substance brings into existence the things that don't exist. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to fight. You don't have to. You just have to kind of be and watch and enjoy. It's like watching a movie. You know, you sit there, have some popcorn, relax. How many people would like that? How many people would love a life that is already set out for you? All you got to do is sit back and enjoy and apply this little ingredient called faith to bring it all into existence. Man, that's so awesome. And this is what I'm talking about. This is my God. My God doesn't want you to struggle. He doesn't want you to fight. He don't want you to get all upset. He doesn't want you to live a life of torment. He wants to take you out of hell and bring you into a place called the kingdom of God. How many want to go to that place? Awesome. I'll explain to you what I mean by this place. Okay, let's say you wake up in the morning and you're real angry. And then you have your partner who wakes up and they're happy. Okay, You seems like nothing goes right and you're just a miserable mess. Okay. You're in a place. Your partner, on the other hand, is happy and just like looking at the bright side of life, and inside of that person for that moment is happy. Okay, they're in a place. Have you ever had anybody like that and it's like, get away from me? Good, you're experienced what I'm saying. Well, that means that these two places cannot join together. They can't mix. It's either one's got to come into that place or the other one's got to go into the other place. The two cannot combine each other. It's like oil and water. It's like night and day. It's very frustrating. And so those out there that are having a little confusion on some situations in life, I'm going to tell you right now, you're trying to mix oil with water and it just don't work. So you're going to have to try to help one another out to get into this place that I'm talking about. And this place is called the kingdom of God. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. A lot of us enter into that place and don't even realize it. Did you ever have a good day? Okay. And then all of a sudden your day went sour. Well, you know what happened? You stepped out of the place where I'm trying to bring you in. And then you say to yourself, how did you get there? 99% of the time, you stopped walking with my God. I believe that there's a lot of people out there that walk with my God and don't even know it. Yep. But the problem is, it's like they walk and they let go of his hand, and then they try to find his hand, and then they finally find his hand and walk with him for another minute or two and forget where his hand is, and you know, and then get lost and gets all frustrated for the day, and then next thing you know, it's the next day, and then finally you relax and you know, you wait, and then finally God, you know, and you meet up again and you walk a little bit, and then all of a sudden you lose his hand again and blah blah blah. It's an ongoing thing. What I'm here to do is bring you into that awareness so that you know his hand and you're always walking with his hand. How many would like that? Okay. It's not religion. I'm not here to give you religion. I'm here to give you relationship. God loves all of us and he's not here to form religion. And I'm going to emphasize this because I think the world is choked by the difference between religion and relationship. I think the world is choked because they want this relationship with God. They want to know the right God. They want to know the universal living God. But they're having an issue with religion. Well, you have every right to feel that way. Because religion kills. God's life. God doesn't kill. He gives life. And I want you to have this relationship with God, not a religion with this God. But unfortunately, for your sake, there is some religious terms and religious ways of the relationship with God, like faith. Faith is a religious term. How many people understand that? That faith is a religious term. You know, you mention faith to people, and right away they're like, Well, what God you serve? You know, what's your faith? You know, faith is a substance. And you can have all kinds of faith. Faith is, you know, unfortunately not a religious word. It's a meaning that has power. You know, and what a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And that think or belief is faith. So what a man has faith in his heart, so he is. It brings into existence that don't exist. And, you know, the more we apply this power, the more it transforms our life. How many of us want a transforming life? We want to get out of our issues. We want to get out of our addictions. We want to get out of our, you know, so-called soured relationships. We want to bring our household in order. I mean, there's all kinds of situations that are going along with our life that we want change. Well, I want to give us change, but we can't change without certain ingredients. It's almost like eating the same cake and you're expecting a different taste And you're not putting anything else different in it or taking anything out of it. You're just like baking the same thing exactly the same way and expecting different results. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. I don't want to disappoint you and get you all upset, but oh well, wake up. It's time to wake up. So, with that being said, let's get to substance. Faith is a substance. And substance is called a particle, a particular kind of matter with uniform properties. And there's an example here. A steel tube coated with a waxy substance. And then it says here, material, matter, or stuff. And that's one of Rachel's words, stuff. It's just stuff. Okay, well, her stuff is substance. And so here's the second meaning of substance. The real physical matter of which a person or thing consists and which has a tangible, solid presence. Proteins compose much of the actual substance of the body. So there has to be substance to create. So faith is the substance. Faith is like the ingredient of creation. There's a belief that has to take place. This just bubbles me over. I get so excited just thinking about the incredible power of faith, belief, trust, belief. And when we can come to that unique, special place where we just begin to convince our heart, because now I want you to understand hope. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for. Now, we have to understand hope in order to understand this substance, because faith is the substance of the things hoped for. So there has to be hope in order to bring this substance into existence. And let me give you the definition of hope. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. So that means that there's something, a feeling, an expectation, a desire. There's a definition here. It says, he looked through her belongings in the hope of coming across some information, an aspiration, a desire, a wish, an expectation, an ambition, an aim, a goal, a plan, a design. I mean, some of us got to have some of that stuff inside of us, right? Okay, that right there is so important. We have to connect to this certain thing, inspiration, desire, wish, expectation, ambition, aim, goal, plan, design. There's another definition here. It's called a feeling of trust. And then there's a verb, an action part of it. It says, wants something to happen or be the case. He's hoping for an offer of compensation. It's an expect, anticipation, or a want. How many of us have that? Okay. Well, I want you tonight, hear my words. God has a purpose for us, okay? In that purpose, for one, of course, he wants to know who, he wants you to know him. That's a definite. We were created to know God. I believe that's why right now I want to call myself reborn. I believe that God changed my life because the world got to the point where they felt that there was no God. And God was like, I'm going to like reborn this dude. I'm going to take him into a heavenly place. He's going to see me. He's going to know me. And then I'm going to send him back to earth and put a conviction in him, a hope, that the world will know who God is. Now, because of this hope that's inside of me, wanting the world to know who my God is, What do you think is going to happen? I'm applying this faith, this power, to bring into existence that don't exist. So guess what's going to happen? The world's going to know God. Guess what, world? You're going to know him. Because there's a power that is coming out of me for the world to know God. And I believe God is going to do something supernatural in your life. If you're listening right now and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you want to know your purpose, I'm going to tell you right now, grab hold of hope. What is it that you want to do? What's your plan? What's your desire? What do you want? What's your expectations? It could be anything. Then I want you to now expect it. The reason why I say that is because it's not a fairy tale. Your hopes are divine. Your hopes are God-given inspiration. Your hope is creation. When God created you, he created life. That hope is your life in him, his life in you. How many people understand this? Awesome. Because this is where relationship starts. You cannot have a relationship with an unknown God without understanding your hope. You cannot have a relationship with God. You have religion. You have an imaginary God that you think you worship and walk with, and you have no purpose. You're dry, you're empty, and you're lost. That's sad. That's just dead. But the life is in God. The life is in hope. And that hope is what we want. It's a desire that we want. Now, I know this so true because when I was younger, my hopes and my wants were different. Until God touched my life, he made my hopes and my wants something that I would have never thought of. You want to know what they are? For the world to know God. Now, is that sick? Why would I waste my whole entire life for a hope of individuals out there somewhere in Zuzu land that I have never met, wanting them to know God so much? But it's burning. It's burning inside of me to where I have committed my whole entire life now, whether it feeds me or not. The world is going to hear me. Now, this is why I know for sure I can't shake this hope. And that's why I know that your hope is God's hope for your life. I'm a bondservant and a slave. He took the hope that I had once and put a different hope in. And it's not that I'm disappointed or sad. I'm very happy with my hope. I have no other desire but to fulfill this hope inside of me. But it's not about me. It's about you. I'm just letting you know why I do this foolish thing called know my God. But I want you to know my God in a special, unique way. I want you to know him by you. I want you to know God by you. Because you are hope. That's your life. For example, if I came to you and real quick without thinking, don't say to me, I don't know. What do you want? Don't say, I don't know. Don't think about it. What do you want? Come on. You're being selfish. Abba, what do you want? Don't say, I don't know. Come on. What do you want? Oh, for the world to know God. So you want what I want. Ooh, that's a special anointing. What do you want? What do you want? Nothing. Good place to be. What do you want?
I
want
to be free.
You want to be free. Wonderful. God wants you to be free. You see? Free from what?
Free from, I guess, all the cares of this life.
Cares and burdens and struggles, the weight. It's almost like you want to be financially free, right? So if you had all the money in the whole world, you'd be better off, right?
I would think that way.
You would think that way, right?
That's probably not true.
But that's okay. You can think that way because it probably is true. But you know, God can give you the desires of your heart. You see, there's nothing. Don't shorten him. I want the world to understand this. This is why I'm saying this, because the world limits themselves to their understanding. For some reason, they feel as though that they aren't allowed to have it. For some reason, they feel as though that it would be dirty for them to have all the riches of the world. You know, God wants to give you everything as long as it goes back to him being glorified. When you get your hope, just glorify him. Listen, I got where I'm at because of God. That makes it all okay. And we have to believe that in our heart. What do you want? Peace? What else? Let's get some material things going on. You want to travel? Wonderful. Hold on to it. Because that's God. What do you want? Okay, what about for yourself? Good. Now pick something else.
Okay, but all my material wants are because it was...
Good, good. Well, we don't want to hear the fruit of it. We want to hear what you want.
Okay, my store.
Okay, wonderful. You can have it. You want it. But there's a way of getting it. Faith. Want. Faith. Want. Why do we feel guilty or bad because we want? Think about it. You know how standoffish we get when we want to express our wants? I want what my girls want. I want them to have everything that they desire. I want them to be able to have a beautiful life. And I want to give it to them. You see? Now, don't get discouraged. Don't think that you can't do it. This is where things go wrong. Discouragement comes in. There's little things called robbery. Darkness wants to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. Now, it'd be nice if I painted a pretty picture and didn't show you a battle. But there's always a battle. But the battle belongs to God. And this is what I want to try to get across. It's not your battle. All you got to do is want. Isn't that beautiful? The light went on, didn't it? Oh, wonderful. I love when the light comes on. All you got to do is want. Just want. And believe. Want. Believe. Want. Believe. Want. Believe. Want. Believe. Want. Believe. And listen. He'll make a way where there is no way. What robs us is when we start believing that we don't want. Okay, now, what just happened? We just reversed it. The power is still the same. You see? All of a sudden, we feel as though that we don't want. So we believe that we don't want or we can't have. And now faith is working on the opposite end. Faith is working against us, not for us. So we have to begin to start believing we want it. It's okay to have it because it's in you. It's your desire. Don't doubt your desire. Don't doubt your hope. Those that are listening right now, stop feeling bad about things. You know, take a deep breath. Go deep into your heart. Don't mask it with any kind of religion or self-righteousness. Get down to the root. What do you really want? And then when you can breathe, when you finally come to that place of saying, yes, this is what I want. And you breathe your first breath of air and you actually experience life, don't let it go. Start nurturing it like a little baby. You know, feed it, cuddle it, burp it, change its diaper because every once in a while it'll get messy. Change its diaper, feed it, burp it, teach it to start walking, and let it grow. And then watch your life. And in the whole time, realize that God is helping you create. Realize that God is helping you birth this thing, and it's coming to life. All because of this simple little thing called faith. As small as a mustard seed. You begin to apply this little ingredient. I call it Jim's secret recipe. And you sprinkle it on there. It makes it taste so good. You sprinkle it, a little salt, a little pepper, a little this, a little that, a little faith. And then next thing you know, eat and be glad and rejoice and be happy. And realize that it's going to happen. How many people understand where I'm going from? Amen. So with this tonight, I want to end this message. Please start with me. Walk with me in this new journey. Walk with me in the relationship with God. Cast all your burdens upon me and I'll give you rest. And do me a favor, kick religion out the door. I really don't care what your background is. Kick it out. Throw every bit that you know out the door. Call it dung so that you will know this truth the more. Do me that favor, please. Because when you begin to do this and you follow me, you will have an awesome life. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. God bless the nations and keep logging on. I can't wait to see if you can make a way to get here. We are, our address is on our, okay, here, you want to end it? Okay, we have a thing. I'm being instructed. We got thumbs up. If you like our website, we got thumbs down. Don't even bother thinking about hitting the thumbs down. You know, I really don't even look at them. So hit the thumbs up, all right? God bless you.